Praise the Lord. Title of the message today, The Rich Deposit in the Saints. How many are thankful for the body of Christ? The believers, the joining of our lives together in the presence of the Lord. I want to speak about that today, encourage our hearts and trust the Holy Spirit to put fresh word and impetus into our lives. Isaiah 26:19 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Isaiah 26:19. The Lord says, "Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." That is to life again. Let's read that again. "Thy dead men shall live." This is God speaking over his people. "Thy dead shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." What a glorious promise. And it relates so beautifully to the body of Christ. There are many illustrations of the church, of the people of God in Scripture, an army, a flock, a garden, a vineyard. But one of the great pictures is that of the head and the body. The Bible teaches clearly that Christ is the head of the church and that we are the many-membered body. Here is a promise of the Lord that he's going to revive the dead among us, and he is going to cause his dead body to arise, that it would arise and sing. I think many of us at times have wondered at the state of the body of Christ, perhaps in our own locality, in our own city, in our own nation. Sometimes the body of Christ looks so shattered and torn down, so lacking in unity and ministry. But God has a glorious promise. He said, "My dead shall live, and my dead body shall arise and be glorious." I'm believing for a better day than I've seen in the past in my life. I'm believing the body of Christ, according to the Word of God, to rise up and function in all that it should be, and that every local church would be strong and mighty in God and fulfilling the work of God that God has called that specific body to do. Awake and sing. God says, "You that dwell in the dust, you dust dwellers," he's speaking to his people, "you dust dwellers, you that are so earthly minded, you that live so low, instead of living high in the spiritual realms, in the love and power of God, you live so low, you're connected in such an earthly way." God says, "You dust dwellers, awake and sing. I'm going to bring the dew of heaven upon you." And you know what happens when the rain of heaven comes on the earth. When the dew comes on the grass and on the flowers and on the plants, they begin to spring forth in life. They're invigorated. They're infused by the Spirit of God. God has that promise upon us. And then it says, "The earth shall cast out the dead to life again." Those that are dead in the body of Christ, churches that are dead, people that are lifeless in the presence of God, even though they belong to the Lord, but they do not have the pulsating zeal and life of God in them. God says the earth is going to cast out those dead to life again. The marginal says that the earth shall bring the shades to the birth. The earth shall bring the shades to the birth. People that have a shade life existence, living in the shadows, living in obscurity, living in the great gray twilight of Christian life, that they're going to come to the birth. They're going to be strengthened. They're going to be blessed of the Lord. And God's going to bring them out of that state in the fullness of his glory. "Thy dead shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise." Awake and sing. People of God, awake and sing, dust dwellers, and those that need a touch from the Lord, because the Lord is going to revive his body once again. Hallelujah. Doing that in our midst, and I trust we receive that this morning, that that's what the Lord wants to do. That's the prophecy of the Lord. That's the will of the Lord upon our lives, that the dead body of Christ would arise and fulfill what it's called to do. I want to relate some remarks this morning to the body of Christ and to an emphasis that has been surfacing now and then over the last few months concerning the saints coming to the full measure of our calling, that each of us would come to full measure, full strength in the Lord, in our particular calling, in what the Lord has set us into the body to do, and in our place of function in the body. And this word has been coming from time to time. Now, I am so thankful for the body of Christ, and it has two expressions. There is the worldwide church, which is the body of Christ at large, and there is the local church, which is the body of Christ in specific. Thank God for those two expressions, the body of Christ at large, the body of Christ in specific. And we receive from the body of Christ at large. There's ministry that cross-pollinates, there's worship, there's spirit, testimonies and miracles and truths of God that come in from other parts of the world. I'm so thankful for the other bodies of Christ beside this one. Churches in our own city that preach the true ways of the Lord, churches across the nation and around the world. Thank God for that wonderful expression of the body of Christ. How thankful we are. We're part of them. We're united with them. We're one in the great global body of Jesus Christ. But then we come to the body of Christ in specific, and that is the church that we belong to. Our particular family, our particular home in God, our particular body. And we understand how that the members of the body fit into a particular body. And God gives us a natural illustration. We have a many-membered physical body, and it's an illustration of the spiritual body. And here we are. We fit together in a wonderful way, the Bible says. We're intricately and wonderfully formed by the Lord. Marvelous are His ways. Beyond comprehending how our body functions, all the parts, the systems, the organs, the cells, how the blood works, how the mind directs the body. What a glorious and wonderful body we have. But our members have a place in this body. See, God didn't make my hand detachable, that every once in a while my hand just detaches and goes, joins another body. Runs down the street, attaches to another body for a few days, comes back. No, my hand knows what body it belongs to. My feet know which body they belong to. My eyes know which body they belong to. And so it is with the body of Christ. God sets us into a particular family, into a particular church, into a particular body there to function in a proper and in an effective way. Now, this is so basic and fundamental that I almost apologize for mentioning it. But we live in a day when the foundations of many generations are broken down, and covenant and commitment and loyalty have fallen away. And many today claim allegiance to the body of Christ at large, but they will not fit into a local church. They will not fit into a membered many body or a many-membered body. And their reason or their excuse is, well, I belong to the body of Christ at large. I belong to the body of Christ in the entire city of Edmonton. Well, most often that's a guise for a rebel spirit. Not willing to fit into place. Not willing to take its place. And so we understand that nature itself teaches us this truth. Nature itself teaches us that if not to be attached to a particular body of Christ is to be amiss, is to be out of order. Every member needs a body. Every member needs to be part of a functioning body. And so I honor the body of Christ. I honor the local church. I thank God for every church in this city that preaches the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm not a member of that body. I can't go over there and inject my function or take over in prophecy or take over in ministry. That's not my body. I'm connected to this body. Now, if we're invited to another body to preach or minister or sing or be involved in some way, we're a guest. We're brought into that family for that season and time. But we belong to a certain body of Christ. And I am so thankful that I belong to this body of Christ, Christ City. over these many, many years, decades of time, because I have been so blessed by the Lord. This morning, number one, let us thank God for the rich deposit in the saints. Let us thank God for the rich deposit in the saints. Ephesians 1:18, the Apostle Paul, in his prayer for the Ephesians, says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope, the expectation of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now, interpretation can go two ways. One, it can be referring to the glorious promises, the rich glories that God has promised to the saints. My, our future is incredible. The work of God in our lives, the daily sustaining by the Holy Spirit, what God has planned for us in the ages to come is astounding. We can't even comprehend it. What glorious, what rich glories are promised as an inheritance to the people of God. Christ is coming and we rejoice. We look forward to the endless ages in the sublime and holy presence of God. But this verse may also be speaking of the rich deposit in the saints. The rich deposit in the saints. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The rich glories. The rich deposit of God that is in you and me. In the saints of God. I owe my life to the body of Christ. I owe my life to the body of Christ because of what it's done for me. How that from childhood, I've been blessed with pastors and leaders and Sunday school teachers and people that cared for me and youth workers and people that prayed over me and people that ministered healing and blessing and prophetic words and life into my spirit. I owe my life to the body of Christ, that rich deposit of the saints. How God has blessed us through the fellowship of his people. How we've been blessed by the gifting, by the grace, by the ministry of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7 says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration or service, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, of supernatural power. But it is the same God which works all in all, but the manifestation, this revealing of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." It's given for the profit of all. The rich deposit of the saints, the deposit in the people of God, is for the profit of the whole body. God is seeking to bless the whole body by the supply of every person. Then 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 18, "For the body is not one member but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." God sets the members. God gives us a ministry. God's grace comes upon us in a special way so we can minister to the body as a whole. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for every body part I have, every member of this body. They all serve the entire purpose of the body, and everyone is important. Now let's notice this principle in Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single or generous or open, your whole body shall be full of light. If your eye takes in light, your whole body is filled with light. If my eye can see, it's not only my eye that takes in light, my whole body is flooded with light. It's amazing. When my eye can see, my whole body knows where to go and what to do. My shoulder doesn't barge into the sharp corner of a wall or door. My whole body can see what to do. My hands, when my eyes see, my hands know what to do. My feet know where to go. My body knows exactly what to do. God has set visionaries in the church. God has set those with sight, with the ability to see. And the result is the whole body enters into the illumination. The whole body enters into the understanding of what to do and where to go and what to implement and how to move in vision. My ears hear, and my whole body is blessed. My ears hear sound and music. And something happens in my whole body. My heart begins to sing, and my system comes alive, and my feet are set to dancing. And it's because my ear can hear. If the ear has hearing, the whole body is filled with sound, with blessing. There are those who are called to hear the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. There are those called preachers and teachers and ministers and Sunday school teachers. And what happens? They are hearing the word of the Lord, and the treasures and the truths and the communication of God goes out into the body, and everybody is blessed. The whole body is blessed because the ear can hear truth and treasure and divine mysteries and the beautiful knowledge of the Lord come into the whole body of Christ. The ear hears, and the whole body is filled with hearing. I thank God for the ministries of the house of the Lord. Thank God for the hidden ministries. There are ministries that are hidden. They're somewhat obscure, like the people who look after the building, skilled not only in natural ways, but anointed by the Holy Spirit to care for the facility for the people of God. And they look after the heating and ventilation and cooling and all the different parts of the building that need repair, the custodians that are in the background, behind the scenes, the groundskeepers, the sound men, the AV department, people that are performing their ministry. And what happens? The entire body is blessed. We walk into the facility, the lights are on, the heat is on properly, everything's flowing and functioning because a few people are fulfilling their ministry, because there's a deposit in them by the Holy Spirit. The whole body enjoys the result. Hallelujah. That's how God made the body, to fit together. I thank God for the worship department of the house of God. Hallelujah. There are not very many people that are skilled, maybe 1 to 2% of any congregation are skilled and anointed enough in worship and musical gifting to be able to handle the corporate worship dimension. 1 to 2%. A few people. But what happens that as they function in their ministry and they're anointed by the Holy Spirit, the entire body enters into the felt presence of God and sings the holy songs and is blessed with the holy presence of the Lord. Worship department doing their share, and the entire body is blessed. Think of David's musicians. Out of all Israel in his day, he had 288 skilled and anointed musicians. They were not only gifted naturally, they were endued by the Holy Spirit, and they waited on God for their ministry. They waited for unction. They waited for anointing. The Bible says they could prophesy on their instruments. They could play spontaneously at times in the worship as the Spirit of God rested upon them. They could write the holy songs of the Lord. They could write the scripture songs. And all Israel came and basked in the anointing of those 288 musicians and singers and worshipers. The entire nation was blessed. The entire nation was blessed. The rich deposit in the saints. The rich deposit is given so that the entire body can be blessed. This is very important right here. that my portion is that the entire body be blessed by what God has put in me. If I'm not interested in being part of the body, I kind of detach myself, separate myself, watch internet ministry, don't be part of a local church. The best that I can expect for my life is what I can produce on my own in a spiritual capacity, but what I can produce on my own. If I'm set off from this body of Christ, oh, I can bring forth some things in the Spirit, but it'll be very limited. To be honest, it won't be very much, because there I am all by myself. And if the truth is, if I seek only my own profit and not the profit of the church and the profit of the body of Christ, I can't expect very much, because God's looking for vessels that'll pour out so the entire body can be blessed. And if I'm on my own, that's all I'll have, a very meager portion for myself. But if I will attach myself, if I will become part of a committed local church, if I will bind myself in with my brothers and sisters, then the wealth of the entire body is made available to me. And I receive what the ear hears, and I receive what the eye sees, and I receive what the worship department brings, and I receive what brothers and sisters exhort and bring forth in all dimensions of the life of the church. Number one this morning, let us thank God for the rich deposit in the saints, the rich glories in the saints. Number two, let us learn our place and ministry. Let us learn our place in ministry. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, tightly joined together by that which every joint supplies. Joint is where the bones come together, the members come together. By that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working. That is the supernatural working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The whole body tightly joined together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We must learn our place. We must learn our function. And when we look at our place and our function in the church, there are two aspects in which all of us need to be involved. Now, there are what we call some ministry. He gave some apostles, some prophets. There are some musicians. There are some teachers. There are some deacons. There are ministries that are portioned out to individuals, but there are some ministries that are for all of us. And the two ministries that are for every member, number one, ministry unto the Lord, and secondly, care for one another. Two ministries for every believer in the church, ministry unto the Lord and care for one another. Ministry unto the Lord, we're all called to pray and worship and intercede, magnify the name of the Lord, stand in worship with our hands lifted, hearts singing unto Him. Every believer is called to worship the Lord. Every believer is called to the prayer room of the house of God. It shall be a house of prayer for all nations, all people responding to the Lord. So we can't say, well, I don't feel called to the ministry of prayer. It's a ministry for every person. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort that first of all, prayer be made. First of all, prayer. And we have the ministry of worship before the Lord, obviously. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That means to speak, to open your mouth, to open your heart and begin to pour out praise and thanksgiving and blessing on God. Psalm 102:18 says that the people that shall be created shall praise the Lord. The people that shall be created shall praise the Lord. Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are created in Christ Jesus. And so every one of us are called to prayer, to worship, to singing, to intercession, to calling on the name of the Lord. That is a ministry for everyone. None of us here are without ministry. We all have ministry unto the Lord. And secondly, we have care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25-27 says that there should be no schism in the body, division or fracture in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That word care means to have anxious thoughts, to be troubled, to be so concerned about other people. When you hear of situations or sickness or injury, that we should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You are the body and members in particular. That all the members should have the same care for one another. Before we start talking about our individual gifting or service or usefulness in some area, this is the area that the Lord brings forth for all of us, that we would care for one another. And so we understand, as we teach in our church life seminar, there are 26 one another ministries. We call them one another ministries. They're for everyone, a full alphabet. Love one another, greet one another, receive one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, heal one another, bless one another. There are 26 ministries in the New Testament that speak about our care for one another. That every time we walk into the house of God and we assemble as a people, no matter if it's small groups or some ministry department or the Sunday gathering to the house of God, that we have a spirit. I want to care for the saints somehow today. I want to greet them. I want to bless them. I want to speak to them. I want to encourage them. I want to exhort them. I want to lift them up. I want to bless them in some way. When report comes through of somebody that's in need, our hearts go out to them. The Apostle Paul said, "Who is weak? And I am not weak." He felt it. He said, "Who is offended? Who is there that stumbles? And I burn not. I burn not." Apostle Paul, so concerned, he says, of all the things I take care of, and yet he says, I have the care of all the churches. He said, I'm concerned, I'm anxious, I'm troubled about the churches. I want to know how the people of God are doing. And when they're hurting, I hurt. And when there's a need, I'm calling out to God on their behalf, and I'm lifting them up, and I'm trying to encourage and bless and pray for them wherever they are. The same care for one another. Hallelujah. Two ministries for all of us, ministry unto the Lord and care for one another. And then we have those specific ministries that may vary from time to time on occasion and the age of our life and the placement where we are in the body. These are the ministries that are effective in certain departments in very tangible ways. But whether or not those materialize at all times or all places is secondary. Because we all have our ministry unto the Lord, and we all have our ministry to one another. But God chooses and sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. And so we have the individual placement as well. There's a verse in John 3 and verse 34 that is very important. It says, "For he whom God has sent," that is Jesus, "speaks the words of God." Then it says, "For God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him." God gave the Spirit without measure unto Jesus Christ. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Every ministry, every gift, every possible charisma, grace gift that you could imagine was resident in Jesus Christ. He was the apostle, he was the prophet, he was the evangelist, he was the pastor, he was the teacher. All the gifts of the Spirit flowed through him. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit without measure. But when it comes to the body of Christ, we only receive a measure. None of us can say, I have the Spirit without measure, in the sense of that gifting. We only receive a measure, and the Bible is very clear. Ephesians 4 and verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure, of the gift of Christ. To one is given this gift, to another another gift. Or Romans 12, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every person, the measure of faith. And so we have a function. As God leads us, as God anoints us, as doors open, we may have specific function in the house of the Lord. We read earlier in 1 Corinthians 12 that there are diversities of gifts. That is, various kinds of gifts, charisma, these grace gifts of God. These are supernatural giftings and callings. There are varieties of grace gifts. Then it says there are differences of administrations, diakoneion, the deacon. There are differences of services or opportunities, and we know that. People serve in many different departments of the church. There are differences of services, of service opportunities, of places where we can be involved in the house of God. And then it says there are diversities of operations. Operations. That is the supernatural endowment of God, the energies of the Lord. The energies of the Lord. This word is used of supernatural activity only, not of human activity in the New Testament, whether of God or the devil. The devil can energize his people, can't he? They go into trances, they speak prophecies, they perform acts. But the Lord says he has divine energies for his people. And so there's these workings, these energies that are in us at times and through us. And the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is made known to all. These works of the Holy Spirit, these energies of the Holy Spirit come through people, and we see the visible display of what the Holy Spirit is doing in the house of God. So we must learn our place and our ministry. Number three today, let us fulfill and perfect our measure. Let us fulfill and perfect our measure. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That we may present every person perfect in Christ Jesus. That's quite a word, isn't it? So often we hide behind, well, nobody's perfect. Is that so? Is that really true, or is that something that the natural man and the world has taught us as an excuse to cover up our lack and deficiency? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This phrase really took hold of me a few months ago. Because we can downplay it, but the Bible doesn't. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Doesn't say we'll get there partially. It says unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The word for perfect is the word teleos in the Greek. And it means to come to a full end. Nothing lacking. There's nothing beyond. It's perfect. It's come to its full end. There's nothing you can add to it. It's perfect. Now, many Christians shy away from the word perfect. And we drop off to the secondary meaning of this word, which is maturity, full age. And so we read Colossians 1:28, that we may present every man mature in Christ. We shy away from the word perfect, but God doesn't, and the Bible doesn't. Matthew 5:48, this is startling. But Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, teleos, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That is incredible. Be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Let's admit it this morning. Our Father in heaven is more than simply mature. He isn't kind. Well, he's full grown. We could say he's complete. He is perfect in all his ways. And Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." The Lord is looking for us to perfect our gifts and our callings in the body of Christ. I love to hear a perfect musician, don't you? My, their hands are on the keys or their hands are on the strings, and there is no mistake, there's no miss in the lyrics, and you can listen to it and be blessed, and you wonder at the perfection. It's perfect, there's not a mistake. Not a mistake. I admire the work of a perfect carpenter. Perfect carpenter. You go and look at his work and, wow, you look at your deficiency list, zero. It's perfect. It's so perfect. It's so great. Nothing can be added. God says, "Be perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Isn't it wonderful to be at a restaurant and have a perfect chef? Doesn't matter what's served, from the appetizers right through to the desserts. My, it's perfect. How wonderful. This is the perfection of the Lord that he wants in us. He wants us to know that we can be perfect in our gifting and in our calling, in our ministry before him. That it's got that touch of perfection on it. They say that one of the faults of the race of man, the fallen sons of Adam, is that we are ashamed of that which is pure and holy and righteous and noble and beautiful. And somehow, if you think of it, you know it's true. That there's something in us, there's a tendency in us to not want to wish to appear better than others, to wish to appear better than the masses, those around us. But yet the Bible calls us on to perfection. To perfection. The perfect gift in you. The fully developed gift that you are in Christ, given out to the body and to the glory of God. My, how precious and how beautiful that is. And that this morning that none of us would allow the voices of others or the disregard or the compromise in the nation or even in the body of Christ to hold us back. But we would say, "I want to be perfect in my gift, Lord. I want to be perfect as your word calls me. I want, Lord, not there to be any lack or any miss in when I minister and when I'm asked to perform and operate for you, Lord God, that there would be a perfection that would come upon the people of God." How beautiful. Sometimes the voices of other people tear us down, keep us back from what God wants us to be. Sometimes those around us, because of their own compromise, want to keep us at their own level. But God says, "I want you to be perfect. I want you to excel completely. I want there to be nothing lacking in your life." Most often those who criticize are those that are filled with envy. And so they criticize because they don't want to see somebody else excel. They don't want to see somebody go to the fine point of perfection in their gifting and calling, and so they tear down and pull back. That is the tendency of the fallen nature, isn't it? But God wants us to go on under perfection. Hallelujah. I almost hesitate to share this, but to me it's so beautiful in the natural realm. You know, God has given such amazing creatures in the earth, animals, and for the delight of our heart and our soul. And to me, one of the greatest sights you can ever see is that of a horse in its full stride. The mane flowing, the muscles, the legs, just the grace, the power, the strength of that animal, the hooves pounding the ground. To see a horse run is a beautiful sight. The Lord says, I made the horse that way so you could enjoy it. One of the greatest horses, perhaps the greatest horse that ever lived, was a horse named Secretariat. In 1973, after 25 years, the first horse to win the Triple Crown in the U.S. horse racing events, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. And this horse in those first two races, by the way, this horse, Secretariat, still holds the records for all three of those races, the highest races in the land. After all these years, as 1973, after all these years of expertise and technology and fine-tuning and breeding of horses, no horse has ever broken the records of this horse, Secretariat. Won the first two legs of the Triple Crown, and then it came to that final race, the Belmont Stakes. And you can watch all three videos on YouTube, or you can watch the film Secretariat. It's a stirring and astounding story. But in that final race, 1.5 miles, the most grueling race for a horse, and Secretariat, he always held back in the crowd of the horses and then broke free down the line to win at the end in the first two races. This horse, from the start, began to charge for the finish line. And there was one horse that tried to keep pace and did for about half the race, and then it was worn out and collapsed, and the other horses came by and even beat it. But there was this horse, Secretariat. And the people held their breath because they couldn't believe what they were seeing. And when you watch it, it'll bring tears to your eyes, because this horse began to distance itself 5 lengths, 10 lengths, 15 lengths, in races that are usually won by 1 or 2 lengths or just a narrow margin, a head, or a nose. This horse went on 15, 25. It ended up winning this race in 31 lengths. And my, what a champion. You couldn't sit there and not cheer for that horse. Like, go. Go. I know you're going to beat the others, but go. Go. Do the best you can. Do something that can never be duplicated in this world. Run with all your might. Run with all your strength. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying that to us too. We can hang back with the crowd just a little, just kind of like the crowd. Yeah, we don't want to peer too far out ahead. We're all kind of the same, but there's something in us that longs for more than that. And there's something by the Spirit of God that wants to set us on perfection, that when we do something in the house of God, when we move in our gift, when we move in our anointing, we have brought ourselves under such disciplines of the Holy Spirit, such life of the Spirit of God, that people touch the perfection of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust this morning that your hearts are stirred to press on in God. Don't stay with the status quo. Don't stay with what people have told you is possible. You go with the Holy Ghost. You go with the Spirit of God. You do everything in your heart that the Holy Spirit has put in, and reach out to be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Musicians, please, 1 Corinthians 1. I want to close with these verses. Let's stand. Let's stand together. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You come behind in no gift. You're not lacking in any gift, and the house of God isn't lacking in any gift, because every person has come to full measure, full standard, and touching the perfection of God for their lives. Hallelujah. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord this morning. Ask for a fresh anointing. Ask for a fresh anointing to take you on, to take you further than you are, to believe for something greater for your life. You know what God's called you to do. You know the perfection that's awaiting you. Let's receive of the Holy Spirit this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Touch our lives this morning, Lord. Touch our lives this morning. Manifestation of the Holy Spirit in each of us, given to the profit of the whole body. Lord, let our measure be full. Let what we do have perfection on it, Lord. The body might be blessed in all things. How we praise you, Lord. How we love you, Lord. How we honor you, Lord. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the body of Christ at large, all across the world, Lord, brothers and sisters, singing praises to you, hands joined in love and fellowship, in union with Christ. We receive their ministry. We bless them and receive their blessing on our own nation. Lord, thank you for the body of Christ that we're a part of, Lord. This house of God, this particular local church, Lord. Father, that full measure would come. Full measure would come, that the body might be increased and grow and be a glory to your holy name. So we thank you, Father. The altars are open this morning. If you'd like to come and present yourself to the Lord, feel stirred to do that, surrender your life in a fresh way, slip out from where you are, come for a few minutes and say, Lord, I dedicate, I consecrate my life to you, to be everything you've called me to be, to do everything you've called me to do. Perhaps there are others here, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you slip out from where you are and come and stand in the presence of God. People here to pray with you and lead you to Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. He's the only way unto the Father. The only way to heaven is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Slip out from where you are. Make peace with God. Come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Perhaps there are others that need a touch from the Lord in your body, your mind. Some family situation, you want brothers and sisters to pray with you. Put some deposit, put some rich glory into you this morning. Strengthen your life, strengthen your heart, strengthen your spirit so you can serve the Lord. Be blessed by the Lord. Slip out from where you are if you have any need. The altars are open. Let's take 2 or 3 minutes now and worship the Lord and thank him. Thank him for the body of Christ. Thank him for the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Thank him for what he's done in your life, your ministry, and family.